Hi, my name is Jeffrey Gittimer. You may know me as the author of the Little Red Book of Selling or the Little Gold Book of Yes Attitude, but what you don't know is I'm coming home to Philly. I'm coming home to talk to you about how to have your best decade ever. I bleed green and you're gonna bleed green money. This is not how to have your best year. This is how to have your best decade. Learn to earn. Invest a few bucks in yourself. The dividends will last a lifetime. Fly, Eagles, fly. Luckily for you, our show is rated E for explicit.
Luckily for him and luckily for us.
Yeah, we try not to use big bad words, but yeah, you can say whatever you want.
I'll try to keep it respectful.
No, yeah. What we'll do in our intro is we'll let the parents with kids in the backseat know that this is probably not the episode to listen to.
Right, in the car.
Right now.
You listen to it in your bedroom just before you go to sleep.
Or right when you wake up.
Yeah, this is a baby-making podcast.
So I'm going to... Very good. Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sell or Die, America and the Globe's premier sales podcast. And my name is Jeffrey Gittimer. I wrote the Little Red Book of Selling.
And I'm Jen Gluckow, founder of Sales in a New York Minute. What's up, everyone?
Hey, we're having a good time over here. We are far, far away at the moment. We will be at the International Book Fair in Frankfurt, Germany, tomorrow, day after tomorrow. But we wanted to make certain that we got to you diehards and made certain that you were informed, inspired, and have more income. How's that for three eyes?
I like it.
Okay. coming up today is Andy Frisella. I did not know who Andy Frisella was. He was introduced to me by Zach Krupp, who was an Andy Frisella devotee. But let me tell you something. Andy Frisella rocks.
Yeah, that's right. He does rock. Jeffrey, are you living under a rock? How do you not know who
I'm
Andy
sorry,
Frisella
I just didn't,
is?
I don't pay that much attention, Jen. I'm a writer. I Andy Frisella.
It's okay.
Yeah, he totally gets it. He is an entrepreneur who has been underwater, stuck at it, had a dream, had a vision, lived both. And now he's basking in the sun. He is as good as Scrooge McDuck in DuckTales to as far as jumping into his money room.
Oh my God!
Because he's doing a couple hundred million a year in sales, and it's absolutely unbelievable. He's a great guy.
Yeah, and he's going to tell a story about how he got so successful. But first, we have a 5-star review.
All right, I'm reading it.
All right,
here we go, Frank. Jeffrey and Jen are incredible. Love the strong guests that are brought in every week, as well as the fun, value-driven content. What I really love is how well they balance each other out. Jen, I can balance you, honey.
Aw, thanks.
Yeah, I'm just one of those balancing kind of guys.
We do balance each other out.
Yeah.
Thank you, Frank.
Yeah, thanks, Frank. Frank. Frank, are you there? So this is... This is the challenge, and this is a big challenge, you guys. Put up a 5-star review for us. You like the show. All you got to do is go to iTunes and put a 5-star review up. We will read it for you. Now, let's talk about, you want to talk about anything? We're going to the book fair in Frankfurt.
Yeah, I mean, we're going there to sell our books to international publishers.
We are going to sell or die.
That is right.
And
we're going to come back with multiple international book contracts.
My goal is 20. In a 4-day period of time, to come back with 20 different foreign language publishers for either the Sales Manifesto or Jen's book, Sales in a New York Minute, or the Truthful Living book by Napoleon Hill. By the way,
guys,
you get...
Jeffrey's aiming too low.
Yeah.
Let's tell him. We can do 30,
Let
Jeffrey.
Me tell you what,
we
20 is a big number. Okay.
We can do 30.
if you want the
chapter. If you aim for 20, we're only going to hit 20. Let's aim for 30.
Okay, Jen.
Sorry, what was that about the first chapter?
Nothing. It's hillsfirstwritings.com.
Yeah.
Go there now and you can download the first chapter of the book. You'll be offered a few other things, but you can pass on them if you want. You get hillsfirstwritings.com and it will give you the first chapter of Napoleon Hill's Truthful Living. You're going
to
love it.
The chapter's called Success is Up to You. And
yes,
it's all about you and how to achieve your success. It's amazing.
And then you can go online and buy the book. By the way, I think we got the actual copies of the book today.
Oh, I can't believe we're not home to see them.
I know. Well, I think I'd kind of rather be here. But
yeah,
anyway.
That's true.
Okay, so we have Andy Frisella coming up.
Yeah.
And for those of you who don't know Andy Frisella's story, you're about to hear it. And it will inspire you. He made himself over from being an overweight teenager to starting a company, spent years trying to make it happen. That has helped thousands of people lose weight. I mean, think of that. This guy literally lived in the back room. It's totally crazy.
Yeah.
He believes that you have to be passionate in anything that you do and that the passion is what keeps him going and what will keep you going. And I think this is a pretty, he painted himself into a corner.
Mm-hmm.
He had no options. He had no plan B. He had no back door.
Well, that was his mentality, this zero option mentality. And he's going to talk about that.
Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome the great Andy Frisella. So, you're a great salesperson, right?
You know, I'd like to think I'm all right. You know,
exactly. But what started you? How did you get there to begin with?
You know, that's kind of a weird thing because even when I was a kid, I did all the little kid things that you hear entrepreneurs do. You know, like I sold lemonade. I went door to door selling light bulbs. I always won, like, you know, those contests they give you in school to go sell, like, pizzas or shit like that. So, like, I kind of always had that in my blood, and I really don't know why. It was just always there. So, you know, going through high school, going through college, I was just always, I always had some sort of sales hustle going on.
And was it the ethic that you got growing up, like I did from my family and Jen did from her family?
Yeah, you know, my dad was an entrepreneur, but he never, it wasn't like he taught, like he never pushed that on us. We played a lot of sports and we did a lot of competitive things. Dude, I just knew I always wanted to make a lot of money, you know, and I don't, the only thing I could think is whenever I was, when I was about 7 or 8 years old, I saw a Lamborghini at the gas station and I didn't know what it was because I had never seen anything like it. And I asked my dad, I said, Dad, what is that? And he's like, well, that's a Lamborghini. And I said, well, why don't you have a Lamborghini? And he's like, well, you got to make a lot of money. And right after he said, you got to make a lot of money, I'm like, well, I'm going to make a lot of fucking money. So, and that was kind of it. And so I've kind of dedicated, my thought process, not just work ethic, but I'm kind of just always thinking about that sort of thing. You've got to understand what I'm saying, where, you know, even at dinner conversations or even at, if it doesn't have to do with sales and business, I'm not even really interested in talking about it. So, and I've just always been that way.
Yeah, I love that. Being an entrepreneur, there's tons of struggles and ups and downs. Have you experienced, can you tell us about some of the experiences you've had starting companies? Like, was it always just easy? Like, I'm going to go make a lot of money and now I'm making a lot of money or?
No, I struggled in business for a long time. And I believe it's because I wanted to make a lot of money now that I look back, and I'll explain what I mean by that. You know, when we started our first retail store, in 1999, my business partner and I started it with $12,000. Okay. We got that money from painting the stripes on parking lots. We didn't have, investors. We didn't have a bank. We didn't have anything. And, we lived in the back of the first store. And, you know, we thought like, okay, we're going to open the store and we're going to be rich. And by 21, we're going to be millionaires. We were 19 when we started. And the first day we opened up, we sold $7. The second day we sold $0. The third day we sold $23. It took us 8 months to have a day over $200. It took us 6 years to get our second store open. The first 10 years in business, total, I made $58,000 combined. So, no, it was not, it wasn't easy by any means for me. The good thing for me was that I didn't have any other options. Had I had an education, had I had another opportunity, I probably would have taken it, because the truth is I could have made more money working at McDonald's. So for me, it was hard. And I think the reason that I made it extra hard on myself is because I didn't really understand the concept of providing value for a return of money. As weird as that sounds, it took me 10 years to figure that out. You know, I was always focused on let me sell, let me sell, let me sell, let me take, let me take, let me take. You know, I can remember playing games with Chris, my business partner, and people would walk in and I would say, I bet we could sell them this, and I bet we could sell them that. You know what? We could. But what we didn't know is how stupid we were being over the course of the long haul by doing that. And about 10 years in business, I came to a crossroads where I said, like, look, I'm never going to make the money that I want to make in this business. So I started looking at other things that I could do to make money. And, you know, my options were limited. You know, I could go work construction. I couldn't do a lot. And so I thought about my companies and I thought about, well, at that time we only had one, but I thought about what I liked about it. And what I liked about what we do and what we do at our retail side is that we have customers. We're in sports nutrition retail. So, you know, vitamins, sports supplements, health supplements, all that kind of thing. So people would come in and they'd be, you know, 100, 200 pounds overweight. And you'd work with them, you'd teach them some stuff, you get them the right tools to go out and do the work. And then some of them would come back 6 months later and you wouldn't recognize them because they lost 100 pounds. Mm-hmm. And they're crying and they're telling you how much it changed their lives. And that was something that I always truly enjoyed and loved. And so at that point in time, I thought, you know what? Okay, maybe I won't become this very wealthy person and have all this cool shit and cars and all that. Maybe I'll just live a life that's meaningful to other people by helping them get results. And when I went back to my business after taking that month or two to think about if I still wanted to do it, I went back with the intention of creating that result as many times as I possibly could. And when I started to figure that out, I started to get our team to concentrate that, and focus all their efforts on producing the result for the customer, everything changed overnight. We went from struggling to truly, we grew 100% per year, 5 years in a row, in the worst economy ever. And we went from making $0 to now we have 7 different companies that, you know, collectively gross over $200 million. Next year, we're probably going to be close to $400 million. All because we focus on the customer.
That's incredible.
All because they recognized that the value of what they did for the customer was greater than the price that the customer paid for whatever it is they bought.
Yeah, and we took the focus off of us, right? Like it became more of a selfless thing, because when we first started it, I didn't think like, oh, well, it wasn't like a manipulation. Like, oh, well, if I concentrate on the customer, I'm going to make this money. I just said, hey, you know what? I fucking like this. It feels good. It's the right thing to do. And we did that. And that's still to this day, 10 years later, the core of every single decision that we make is what we're about to do. Is the product we're about to make? Is the ad that we're about to put out? Is the customer service script that we're going to put into play? Are those things in the customer's best interest? And if the answer is no, we don't fucking do it. And that's it.
So what percentage of the people come into your store are overweight people versus already athletically fit and want to get fitter?
It Actually, it's mostly overweight people. It's about 70%. Yeah.
That's interesting.
But you don't say that in your title.
No.
You know, your store's not called Hey Fatso.
No. Not.
I don't know that fat people might walk in there.
But they certainly want to become fit, and they figure, well, if athletes go in there, then I should go in there as well. Is that?
Well, we do a good job of letting them, you know, because like when you, because I've struggled with my weight my entire life, to be honest. And when you're extremely overweight, it's hard for you to believe that it's possible to even get where you want to go. So what we do is we concentrate on telling the story of other people who have done what they want to do, and
perfect,
make sure they understand, you know, where that, you know, hey, look, yes, it's a long road. Yes, it takes effort. Yes, it's not going to be easy, but yes, it's also possible. And I think we have a duty to do that. Like, I feel like we have a duty to tell that story as much as possible because, dude, a lot of people feel hopeless, man. Because
exactly.
The truth is with my industry, there's so much predatory business practice that goes on.
Yeah.
That people lose hope, you know, buy this pill, buy that pill, buy this powder, buy this. It's true that supplements can help a lot, but there is no supplement out there that's going to do everything for you like these companies try to tell people. And because they tell them that, people lose belief in themselves because they try this, they try that, they try this, they try that. And then they say, well, I fucking tried everything. Nothing works on me. I'm just fat. And that's the furthest thing from the truth.
Are you
so
raising
I'm
your hand?
Fat. Yeah, I'm just fat. I'm not fat, but I got like 20 extra pounds that if I could do the Vulcan mind meld and make it go away, dude, I would do it. But you have to work at it. If you're not willing to work at it, it's not going to happen.
So, Andy, I know you've spoken about how you've lost weight and your journey through that. How do you keep your weight off and maintain everything?
It's a struggle for me because the truth is like I have pretty terrible eating habits naturally. I grew up I grew up in a family that ate shit food. Like we ate Doritos and we ate bologna and cheese and we ate fucking McDonald's and shit like that. And like so my natural eating habits were never in place the right way. So you know, for me it's a struggle. Like I have to watch alcohol consumption because if I drink alcohol, I don't care about my diet or working out. And not just for that day, but for like
a week, right? Or a month.
Yeah.
So like I have to really be careful and you know, I like beer. So like for me, I kind of know where my triggers are, but the main thing is just trying to develop consistent habits of moving, you know, getting out, doing some sort of activity, like, you know, now, if I know I'm going to go to, like one of my things I like to do is watch football on Sundays. So if I know if I'm going to go to my local little bar that I drink beer at and watch football, you know, I'll make sure that I work out for an hour before I do that, no matter what. Otherwise, I won't go, you know, and that's you just kind of like make little deals with yourself to help maintain it. You know what I mean?
I want to go back to something. You've helped thousands of people lose hundreds of pounds. Fair to say?
Yeah, hundreds of thousands of people.
Okay.
Yeah.
When they tell their story, they cry. They will break down emotionally to talk about how valuable it was, how life-changing it was, and that's the real salesperson for your company. It ain't you guys.
Sure. Right.
It ain't, if you run an ad that's not a testimonial, rip it in half. Because it ain't going to do any good.
No, and that's, you know, and I mentioned your book. The customer loyalty is priceless book that you wrote. That book was very instrumental in changing my mentality in sales as well. You know, we live in an era where word of mouth doesn't take years like it used to take.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
In the 90s, in the 80s, in the 70s, you know, to tell a story, it just took much longer. Now, if you're in business, your whole goal, your entire goal of your entire process should be to cultivate an experience that creates a story on social media immediately.
Yep.
And a good one. And I think people still don't understand how valuable that tool is that we have at our disposal in terms of how quick it can grow your business.
They're starting to. Instagram Stories has actually changed a whole process because it's caught on so quickly and so vastly. Like, you could tell a story before on Facebook, but it was not as powerful as the Instagram story. And you can see people jump into it every day. And you need one fat to skinny story every day on Instagram. And
from fat to fit.
And just show me what. Just show me this. The picture. Just show me the before and after. There's a way to do it. And when you sell somebody your system or your process, and they're wearing a size 92 blue jeans, you ask them to please save the jeans. Don't throw them away, because when you come back to tell people, I want you to hold the jeans up, because two people could usually fit inside of those jeans.
Yeah. Well. And I think the thing is, too, to remember and to point out to everybody listening is that you may not be selling something that changes someone's life as dramatically as 100-pound weight loss, but you should be selling something that changes their life for the better in some way. And if you're not, you're going to lose. And your job as a CEO, as an entrepreneur, is to figure out what that story is and then reverse engineer the story into your process so that your process creates that story as many times as possible. Because I run into a lot of people who say stuff like this. Well, I don't sell supplements. So how, you know, I sell tires. So how do I get people to tell a story about tires?
Dude.
Well,
that's
the unique, I think, exciting part about business is that how can we figure out how to tell our story in a unique way? I was talking to a guy last night who owns a construction company, an excavating company, and he wants to identify himself and build a brand on social media. And he asked me, he's like, well, how would you brand yourself if you were me? And I said, well, first of all, there's nobody in the construction world that's actually doing personal branding properly. Nobody knows what they're doing. Not even really aware of what's going on. So you could do one of three things. You can either educate people. So you could sit there and talk about how important it is to set the foundation this way, which is boring as shit. Nobody cares. Okay. You can impact people. You could tell your story about how you started out digging in a sandbox and then, you know, you got a passion for equipment, and you could tell that story and it's going to inspire some people. Everybody's got a story if they know how to storytell. Or three, you can entertain people. You could go get some fucking cars and you could crush them with your equipment on Instagram every fucking day. And you'll get 10 million views on your shit because people want to see a bulldozer run over a fucking car, okay? And that's entertainment. And he's laughing. He's like, oh, yeah, okay. I'm like, no, dude, I'm being dead serious. Like, because it's about attention, right? And if you can get the attention, then you can get the impact. And people right now are struggling to figure out how to get the attention, you know, unless you're an Instagram model. Or unless you're a motivational speaker, nobody really knows what the fuck they're doing on social media.
I happen to be an Instagram model. No, not many people know that about me.
It's but your hidden secret.
I have an alter ego, yeah. But let me throw this at you. You hit the nail on the head. There has to be a value proposition, number one, or an entertainment proposition, number two. And while I will admit that the people that are making slime have my daughter's attention – I mean, she has her favorite YouTubers, she has her favorite Instagrammers, she has her favorite Snapchatters, and she watches them. But she also imitates them. She wants to make what they make. She wants to do what they do. And she'll spend her whole allowance on some glue and some activator and this gold foil that you can put in the blender and it makes everything turn gold. She understands from other people what to do and how to do it. And that's what the essence of your business is. They need to see how other people have done it so they can do it.
That's right.
This is Christy Walters.
And I'm Jeff Bajorek. Together, we host the Why and the Buy podcast, and we are pumped to be a part of the Sell or Die podcast network.
The Why and the Buy is a show about tackling sales and leadership challenges that salespeople and small business owners face every single day.
While we have a lot of fun doing it.
I'm a dad. I'd like to think I'm not a terrible dad, but I'm a dad and I make bad jokes.
I love it. That's what happens when you start a podcast.
If you like making a lot of money and being super successful, then sure, I suppose.
Jeff and I have been there. We've lived through it and we're here to share the lessons we've learned. So subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Stitcher, or wherever you get podcasts. And remember, when you know your why.
Your hows and your whats get much better. We'll talk to you again real soon.
And mic drop.
So we, you know,
we have so much in common.
I know. College dropout is everything. I could not succeed if I wasn't a college dropout.
Dude, I was criticized hard for that.
So was I.
Yeah. I mean, it was, and I remember every single person too, when they told me, oh, Andy, dude, what the fuck are you doing? When are you going to grow up and get a real job? You know, now entrepreneurship is looked at as this glorious thing, which I think is hilarious because it's not. You know, it's
right. That's funny.
There's no glory. There is no glory. No.
It's gritty. It's bloody. It's dirty. It's excruciating, and it never fucking stops. And everybody thinks it's this. You know, I laugh when people are like, "Oh, dude, freedom." When is that supposed to come?
Right. Yeah. Right. Right.
19 years, dude. I'm making more money than anybody I fucking know. I don't have any fucking freedom.
Exactly.
No.
Well, you do. You just haven't taken it yet.
Well, I work for the customer.
I understand that. But if we get to be better friends, we'll take you to Paris one time and you'll see what freedom is. It doesn't come totally. It just comes like a week or two at a time.
Yeah. Yeah.
My last time I was in Paris, it was 1998. And it was when they won the World Cup.
I was there then too.
Were you really?
Yeah.
We have so much in common. We should eat dinner.
And then the only thing I remember of that whole entire day when they won the World Cup is I was sitting on the curb because I was so drunk looking at the ground. And I looked to my right and there was a guy about 10 feet away who literally projectile vomited across. The only reason I remember is because it went, I swear it went all the way across the street. I've never seen anything like it before.
Oh my God.
It had to be a world record. And my whole trip to Paris, that's what I remember.
That's amazing.
Wow.
That's
so funny. That would definitely get people's attention on Instagram.
Yeah, would definitely.
So we were talking about getting people's attention on Instagram before, and I want to know how did you build your following and how did you get people's attention? Because it's not easy.
No, you have lots of attention.
And you do. Yeah.
This is how it happened. I would say it's probably an accident for us. So what happened for me was I was writing a book with another guy and a ghostwriter. And he was helping me write the book. And he's actually the co-host of my podcast now. So his name is Vaughn, and he used to be a pastor. So
how does he take that language?
It's a great dynamic, dude.
I can imagine.
Yeah, because like he's you know, I have me and then we have him, and it's just a good dynamic.
You balance each other out.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But we were recording the audio. So we were interviewing and I was doing the audio recordings. And this is back when Instagram had only 15-second clips. So he would be interviewing me and we would take a video clip of it and put it on Instagram. It was only 15 seconds long. And cause I would hit these little one liners and I would throw them up online and people would be like, holy shit, where do I listen to this podcast? And I would say, I would always go, it's not a podcast. We're writing a book and it's an interview. And that went on for like 6 months. And then finally, and people started sharing them and I started getting, you know, my following. I think at that time I went from 20 or 30,000 up to 300,000. And, finally, this tells you how smart I am not. After 6 months, I was like, these people kept asking for the podcast. And I was like, dude, maybe we should start a podcast. And so that's how the podcast happened. And so when the podcast happened, we already had a built-in audience that was ready for it. Okay. Yeah. And so when we launched the podcast, the built-in audience that we had created from Instagram went to iTunes and it pushed it up to the top. And I was number one in from the day that we started for like the first 7 months.
Wow.
In business.
Way to go.
Yeah. So like, and then, you know, when you're number one on iTunes, you're featured. So people will find you and then they come to follow you. So that's actually how I built my following. And there's only two people on iTunes who have remained consistently in the top 10 for the last 3 years straight. And that's myself and Jocko Willink. And I haven't been out of the top 10 for more than a fucking 2 or 3 day span in 3 years since we started because of the way it kind of worked for us. So we got a little bit lucky with the algorithm. And we've just been able to continually provide.
Wait. You did not get lucky.
Well,
you happened you had a genuine following and you figured out how to convert that following into a podcast listener and it worked. But to get your first following, did you do nothing or did you work your ass off?
No, I worked my ass off.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And then you continued to provide value.
You're right. We didn't get lucky, but we were fortunate with the way it worked out.
Yeah, there lucky is winning the lottery.
Yeah. I don't like that word either, by the way.
Yeah.
I hate it. But the way that it worked out for us, it kind of worked the right way for us, is a better way to say it.
I tell people if you want to win the lottery, the first criteria is you can't have all your teeth.
Yeah, no shit. They do that on purpose. They have to. They have to research those. They all look the same. They look like fucking brothers and sisters, man. Right.
So a lot of our diehards are not like you and don't have a starting following of 20 to 30,000 followers. That's a pretty cool place to start.
The reason I had that was because our brand, so my First Form, one of my other companies, is one of the fastest growing sports nutrition companies in the world. So we have a huge presence on social media. And so I was able to, I already had that built in and it, you know, and I just leveraged it into this other deal. So it was, when I look back and see how it went, man, it's been pretty cool to see how it worked out.
Yeah, let me remind the diehards, you were sleeping in the back of your store making $50 a day.
Yeah.
So don't automatically think like Andy started out like, whoa, man, that guy is so lucky. No. Andy fucking worked at it.
Yeah.
You know, in the beginning, and I say this all the time when I speak, you know, we didn't have the money to advertise. We didn't have social media. We didn't have all these tools. And it's funny to me because like I listen to all these kids cry about how they're fucking disadvantaged in business. And it's like, dude, I went door to door. Like I used to go door to door in Springfield, Missouri, where we started our retail company. Hey, how you doing? I'm Andy. We own this supplement superstore down the road here. If you ever need this and this and this, you know, this is where we are. And I did that for years. That's the only thing that I could do.
What kept you going? What kept you going when you weren't making a lot of money? And I'm sure you had a lot of people saying at that time, you could go back to college. You could do all these things.
You could be a doctor.
Yeah. What kept you going with entrepreneurship?
Well, one, I didn't have any other options. So I'm a big believer in cultivating zero option mentality. For example, even at this point in time, you'll hear me say, like, I don't have, and even though I know it's not true at this point, but I don't have any other options. Fuck, dude, I'm probably one of the highest paid speakers in the world right now. You know, I could just do that and make a lot of money. So like, I know I can do other things. It's just that I convince myself that I don't have any other options. And so I think literally when I started, not having any other options was the biggest advantage that I had, because every time I wanted to quit, it was like, quit to do what? What was I gonna do?
I'm proud to say that my name appears on a new book along with Napoleon Hill's name. The book is called Truthful Living, and it's yours for the clicking. It's not just a book. It's the very foundation of Napoleon Hill's self-help legacy. His long-lost original notes, letters, and lectures now compiled, edited, and annotated for the modern reader.
In Truthful Living, Jeffrey has captured Hill's foundational wisdom for the 21st century. These easy-to-implement, real-world strategies for life, family, business, and the bottom line prove as energizing and inspiring today as they were nearly 100 years ago.
Go to Amazon, click on the link, own the book in any format you like, but read it, study it, and put it into your life. This is called Truthful Living. It's the first writings of Napoleon Hill. It precedes Think and Grow Rich by 20 years. And in the book, he talks about having one aim, a chief aim, and that's it. And no side hustles and no other crap. Yeah, of course. You focus on it and you don't quit no matter what. You finish what you start.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And he says success is up to you. You didn't rely on other people. You went out and banged on doors and told people to come down to your store. Not unlike Debbie Fields, not unlike other successful people that have gone through the mill and become multimillionaires as a result of it. And Debbie Fields had a husband who said, "You'll never make it."
Yep. He didn't believe in her at all.
And so you look at your process and you look at your position as a person who has genuinely earned what it is that you have achieved. You didn't get a windfall. The people in Springfield didn't automatically get fat and come down to your store. They relied on you at some point in time to help them, and you genuinely helped them. Correct?
That's it. Yeah, that's it.
And he also says, provide more service than you're paid for.
Yeah, and I believe that's at any level that you are. Like that's the key to being an intrapreneur too. If you're going to be working within a company and you want to succeed, guess what? You're going to have to do more than what the fuck you get paid for.
Exactly.
You know, and I think that's the whole key to success and everything.
When you give a speech, how many times you drop the F-bomb?
It depends.
Yeah, some of them. Yeah, exactly.
When they ask me not to, I purposely do it more.
Yeah. I love that.
That's funny.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And you know what's funny is that every fucking time I come off the stage, they're like, "That was the best talk I ever heard." And I'm like, "Yeah, well, let me do what the fuck I do." And you get that. You know what I mean? It's like, dude, it's like you're going to hire an artist to come paint a painting for you. You're not going to tell him how to paint it. You're just going to let him do his thing.
No, I want more red. I want more red. Totally,
yeah,
get it.
I do speak with a lot of people who there are, you know, it's like, dude, have you listened to anything that I put out or any podcast or anything? Like, maybe I'm not your guy.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. If you don't like my language, you ain't going to like me.
Yeah. Right.
But listen, the challenge though is that in between the words is the message.
That's right.
And your message has a tremendous amount of value, or you would have already lost your following. You wouldn't be gaining your following. And obviously in our society, we as Americans or global people, we're looking for someone to set an example or even set the standard for what can be done if you persevere.
Yeah.
And you're the essence of perseverance.
Well, I appreciate that, man. That means a lot coming from you as well. I mean, I've learned a ton of what I know has come from your material.
Thank you.
It's very cool to be on this podcast.
So our diehards are dying to know, did you get the Lambo?
Oh yeah, I'm one of Lamborghini's top 20 customers.
Yeah, you're Lamboed out. In other words, I saw one quote where it doesn't have a fucking cup holder.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah. which is kind of weird. They actually started putting this one in now. It's like this little clip on bullshit one. They do a lot of things I don't understand. Like, I'm actually mad at them right now, but that's a whole other story.
Don't you have two seats in the front of the Lambo, one for you and one for the mechanic?
Shit. No, that's a Ferrari.
Oh, sorry. I get those brands mixed up.
Yeah.
So, hey, we're going to be in St. Louis next year, and it would be really fun to get together.
No, you're introducing us.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah. We need somebody that can, you know. I want a dinner at Steak and Shake.
Oh, no. We can do better than that.
Wait a minute. How many Steak and Shakes have you had?
Oh, dude.
Exactly.
Staple here, man.
I rest my case. I'm a Steak and Shake guy and a college dropout.
College drunk night
eats.
No way, dude.
Like a bacon cheeseburger from Steak and Shake. That's some good stuff.
Exactly.
Now you're talking.
Now I know you truly are a fat kid just like me.
Exactly. Well, I grew up with cheesesteaks in Philadelphia, so I understand the essence of tasty cakes and cheesesteaks, and you know, you can't, once you start, you cannot stop. It's
I had a cheesesteak in Philly, I don't know, 3 years ago. It was the last time I was there. It seriously was one of the best things I ever had.
Oh yeah.
They're pretty good.
It's like, if you've never had heroin, if they dissected it, there would be some kind of cheesesteak inside the formula.
Yeah, or vice versa.
Exactly. So I need you to throw some wisdom out. There's the one quote of yours that stuck with me. Did you do what you needed to do today? You could have ended it with, did you do what you needed to do? But the word today adds an urgency to it that most people don't understand. You have to do it every day. You just can't do it once a week or once a month.
Yeah. You know, I think the biggest thing that hurts most people is that they don't understand that this is a long game and this is a long effort. You know, like people get frustrated in fitness. You know, we've talked to fitness. They're like, well, I ate good for a week. Or I ate good for 2 weeks. Why don't I look like I should be on a magazine? Well, it just takes more time than that. It doesn't mean that you're not doing the right things. You just haven't seen the results. And I think in business, I know in business, if you're going to get frustrated in fitness for taking a long time, business takes exponentially longer for it to work. And so understanding that your efforts today are going to compound later just the same way as an investment would, is paramount to becoming whatever it is that you're going to become. Because the truth is, whatever we do today, whatever we're doing today, is going to make us next month or next year. And it doesn't matter if we're doing good or bad things, that's what's going to become of us.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
You know, and people say, well, I can't develop habits. Well, you already have fucking habits. They're just not the right habits.
So, exactly. Let me have that beer.
You just don't want to admit they're your habits.
I only drink one beer at the end of the day, but I do it every day.
Right. And that's the thing. It's like, and people, they have this ability to negotiate with that little voice in their head that says, hey, today doesn't really matter. You know, it's just one day. It's just one meal. It's just one skip workout. It's just one night out with the guys. But people do that. It's just one every fucking day.
Right.
And then they're pissed about where they end up. Well, dude, that's the life you chose. You chose that.
Right.
And people will sit around and say, oh, well, I'm a victim because I didn't have this or I didn't have that or bullshit. You had it. You just chose something else.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. And, you know, I'm not saying don't have a beer or don't do something that isn't productive for your business because you want to, like, you know, go on a little vacation. I'm not one of these guys who says you got to work 27 hours out of 24 hours, like it's popular to say right now, because I know that's not true. The truth is that if you do five things a day that are conducive and get you in the right direction of where you want to go, no matter if it's very simple things like send an email to Tom who works here or make this phone call or do this, I'm talking about simple shit. If you just do five things a day, what's that going to take you? It could take you 3 hours. It could take you four hours. You have the rest of the fucking day to do whatever you want. And like the truth is, for me, as long as it's been that we've been in business, I've never felt like I worked really hard. Like I've never felt like I had to work hard. I just felt like I did a little bit of shit every day and it just adds up. And I think, you know, right now we have this generation of people who believe that they have to, they're being told, you know, hustle, fucking grind, all this shit. That's great. You can do that. But the truth of it is, you know, you don't have to be working at 1 o'clock in the morning to get results.
No.
You know, and I think that's something that really hurts a lot of people because they feel like, well, if I can't work from 1 o'clock in the morning or from 6 a.m. to 1 a.m., then I can't make it in business. And that's just not true.
Right.
Dude, I wake up every day at fucking 10 o'clock in the morning and I go to bed at like 11 at night or 12 at night. You know, I don't work exceptionally hard. I'm just consistent. And that's the truth.
So you got a piece of paper?
Do I?
Yeah. Write down two words. Martin Rooney.
I put in my notes here on my phone.
Cool. Martin Rooney is a top 10 trainer in the world, and you need to hook up with him. He has exactly the same philosophy. His company is Training for Warriors, and maybe he's a spokesperson for you. Maybe you're a spokesperson for him, but something needs to happen.
We can connect you guys. Look him up, and if you're interested, we can connect you guys.
He's a real good friend of mine. But this guy's it. I mean, he's absolutely it. Did camps for NFL rookies, trained the champions in that sport that's kind of a sport where they beat the shit out of you. It's like boxing, only worse.
Yeah.
And he's the real deal. Anyway, but let me go back up. You are the real deal.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem.
I'm trying every day, man.
Exactly. Exactly. When you try every day, eventually it happens. You can't even mark the day that it happened. It just evolves.
I don't think it's still happened. I mean, I'm not the best there ever was in what I do. So until I am, I haven't done shit. That's how I look at it. So, you know, I'm here to be the best that ever fucking lived at what I do. And that includes my company. It includes my personal branding. And, you know, until I feel like that I truly am, and have been the best, I'm going to keep working, and that's it. You know, I think that's another thing. You know, I think a lot of people, they get a little bit of success and they think they fucking made it. And what they don't realize is that shit can go twice as fast, 10 times as fast as it took you to get it. And, I've seen that happen, man. I saw somebody I know lose $100 million business over the course of 18 months, you know, to nothing, to where they were living next door to Dave Thomas, the founder of Wendy's, to living in a $120,000 ranch house, you know, because that's what they, I mean, dude, I've seen it happen. So I just know how quick it can go.
Ask any professional athlete who makes $28 million and 5 years later he's working at Walmart.
Yeah.
So yes, there has to be an understanding of preservation along the way as well.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that's important for our listeners, for you diehards out there, is Andy is a person who is looking at legacy. And legacy is something that is overlooked by almost everybody when they're working hard. He has a quote. I'm going to give you the quote. It's his quote number 10. Instead of thinking how hard your journey is, think how great your story will be. And the story is the legacy. What have you done for other people? How have you helped other people? What's your journey been? And what will people say about you when you're gone? Andy Frisella, he was a and that's the real deal.
And I think people, you know, I think the cool thing too, and people don't realize it. You don't realize this when you don't have any money because your goal is just to have some money.
Yeah.
But I can tell you this. I've made a lot of money and I have a pretty cool fucking story. And the coolest thing about my life right now is not the houses or the cars or the travel or any of that shit. It's nothing material. It's when I get to sit down with someone, tell them how my story went, and see them light up in belief that they can actually go do something great. And that to me is the most valuable thing that I've got going for me. And it's the most valuable thing. It's the most fulfilling thing. And that came from the struggle. It came from the long time where I didn't make any money. It came from all the hardship. And everybody is trying to skip all of that. And I know because I was the same way. I was the guy that wanted to be rich in 1 week, 1 year. But looking back, I would have cheated myself out of everything great had that actually happened. And that's something that people just can't understand until they're on the other side of the mountain.
Yeah. I totally agree. Yeah, 100%. People want to know the shortcut. I tell them take the long cut.
Yeah, it's way more interesting and fun and fulfilling, and it teaches you everything you need to know. So that, like, for example, if fire and brimstone comes down today and smashes everything that I have, guess what? I'll be back because I know what to do.
Exactly.
And that's a nice feeling as an entrepreneur, because I just started feeling that in the last maybe 2 years. And up until that point, I was scared shitless every day, you know, and I'm still scared every day, but I handle it in a different way with a sense of confidence that I know, like, if this were to go away, I can rebuild something, you know?
Yeah, that's phenomenal.
It's amazing. So listen, diehards, Andy Frisella is exceptionally accessible on every form of social media on the planet. We're going to put all your stuff in the show notes.
Cool.
So you don't have to go and, you know, talk about yourself. But the MFCEO project is the definitive fuck you to the world.
It's addictive. Download it. Listen to it.
and I think that your message is genuine. And I think that's the most attractive part about it. You're not bullshitting anybody. You're not reading from a script. You're talking from your heart. And you go back and listen to the 45 minutes of this interview. You have spoken 110% from your heart. And that's a pleasure. Yeah, that's a pleasure.
Andy, thank you so much for joining us. This has been awesome.
Jeffrey, it's been a huge honor to be on the show, man. Because the truth is we wouldn't be here without the material you put out. And I mean that. So cool. I appreciate it.
Wow. Just wow. Andy Frisella rocks. He has such an inspiring story, and just the way he decided that he was going to be successful no matter what. This zero, what did he call it?
Zero options.
Zero option
mentality. It's referred to as no backdoor. Actually, he had other options, but they were all lower options.
So I was thinking about that as he was talking about it. Like,
everyone has another option.
Right. He could have
quit.
He could have quit. He could have gone to work at a grocery
store.
That's
the whole deal. Quitting was not his option. He eliminated quitting from his option choices, and that gave him no options. Mm-hmm. Like, most people will have like a plan B where if they don't get this job, they can go get this job.
Yeah.
Not Andy. Andy said, this is my business. This is my life. I'm going to do it no matter if my ass falls off. And he did it.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool. I mean, he used his mind to convince himself there was no other way and that he would do whatever it takes to be successful.
I will tell you, I was humbled by his endorsements. but I will also tell you that I thought he was as inspirational as anybody you could ask about what does it take to become a success.
Mm-hmm.
And he pulled it off. He did it with himself. You know, he's a real guy. There was no bullshit about Andy Frisella.
Mm-hmm.
He was rational and sane about his explanations of things. Nothing off the chart. He just went ahead and plugged at it until it happened.
So, Jeffrey, Andy talked a lot about attitude and determination.
Yep.
And I want to talk about attitude and determination in your career. And how did that shape who you've become and your success?
In 1972, the twins were just born. I was not in a good marriage and I had zero direction. But I was reading Think and Grow Rich with a bunch of other salespeople. And after about the third reading, I got attitude. Now, when you get attitude in New Jersey, sometimes it's negative and sometimes it's positive. I chose positive. And I realized that if I was going to do anything or achieve anything in my life, it was going to be with a positive outlook all the time. I was certain that it was going to be partly sunny, not partly cloudy.
Yeah.
And I was certain that my glass wasn't just half full, it was full. And there's a big difference. So I'm challenging you diehards that I thought I could way before I did.
Mm-hmm.
And the same with the little engine. You've had this lesson since you were a child of thinking you can do it, and you ignored it. Your parents made it into like this, well, I think I can. You don't even know the little engine's a girl. But I think it's important for you to understand that is not just a book. It's a lifelong lesson that you need to keep. Go read it tonight. It's in your house someplace. Diehards, come on. Go get your little engine that could book out. And read no one knows who wrote the book. It was written anonymously. I think it's Waddy Piper, but there is no Waddy Piper. It's Arnold Monk, who was the the publisher of Platt & Monk, and it wasn't his story. Long story, but it's true. And so you have to do this on your own and figure out what can you think you can do. Diehards, write down tonight what you think you can do, and then make a game plan to go do it. But you can't do it unless you believe you can with all your heart, and your mind says, I'm going to do this no matter what. I'm positive that I can do this, and I'm going to take every negative thing that happens to me, and I'm going to turn it into a positive, plain and simple. And that's exactly what Andy Frisella did. Jen, what do you think about it?
Well, attitude and determination have definitely shaped my career. First of all, as an entrepreneur, if you don't have a good, positive attitude, you're screwed. You're
a positive
totally
attitude
screwed.
About outcome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that no matter what happens, you have to stay positive about it, because the minute you get negative about it and go negative, you lose. And if you stay positive about it, you can always find different alternatives. You can always find other options that will help you find success. In terms of determination, when I started my first job out of college, I was determined to be on the sales team. But I started out as the executive assistant to the CEO. And I had battles to overcome because people didn't understand why I had access to all of his emails and why how he could trust me, you know, right off the bat like that. And they were a little bit, there were some people who were a little bit jealous and didn't think, you know, maybe I deserved it or whatever. And they weren't nice to me. And I decided I was going to kill them with kindness. I don't know if it was because I was young. I don't know if it was because I was a girl.
No, it's because you didn't have a gun.
I don't know. I don't know what the reason was that some people were, you know, not the nicest in the world to me.
Yeah.
But I didn't care. I was determined to be successful no matter what. And I wasn't going to put a name or a label or blame any reason why. And I just decided I'm going to show them why, how I'm, you know, I'm smart and why I deserve to be here.
Good.
And then I'm going to show the CEO how I deserve to be on the sales team. So I asked him if I could start selling 20% of my time, just 20% of my time. Could I take that? Give me a few, you know, carve out a small territory and let me start selling to that territory. And guess what?
You carved it out. With your cutter knives.
I was selling like crazy. In my 20% of time, I was making amazing sales. And so my determination to get on the sales team, eventually they were like, you have to go on to sales now. Like
right.
You have, there's no other option, right? But I was determined and I wasn't going to let anything stop me. It didn't matter if, you know, there were males who weren't so nice to me. It didn't matter if I got turned down when I made a cold call. It didn't, whatever it was, whatever the objection was or the deterrence was, I wasn't going to let that stand in my way. And diehards, that's what you need to do this week and right now. Okay. If you're thinking about something that's blocking you from being successful, take on Andy's zero. I keep forgetting the name. Zero option mentality, okay? And take that on and tell yourself you have no other choice but to be successful. And then figure out a way that you're going to get there.
Yeah, back up for just 1 second, diehards. Why don't you write down what you really want to do? What do you really want to have as an outcome from who you want to become? Write that down and then make your game plan. It's so simple. Get Truthful Living and you'll see exactly how to do it by Napoleon Hill. Just get the book and you can become the Andy Frisella of your industry without a doubt. Andy did it with nothing. Hard work, determination, patience.
A great attitude.
An amazing attitude. And a service mentality.
Yes. Yes.
A total service mentality. So now you.
Well, it's interesting that that's when everything changed for him.
Yeah, when he went to a service mind instead of a sales mind. Yeah,
yeah.
I agree. I totally agree. So, diehards, this is your opportunity. This is your time to become who you want to become. We're here to help you do that. We're here to support you. We're here to make you feel great about it. You can message us. You can video us.
Post
you can Facebook us.
Group.
Do anything you want. We will help you get to where you want to be. That's the objective of this podcast, is to help other people get where they need to get.
Yeah.
So go do it. Brandon Steiner's coming up on Thursday. Another amazing story.
But also tomorrow, we begin the Truthful Living of podcasts that are going to start running on Wednesdays. So we're going, I interviewed you a little while back, and we're going to be playing the interview. And I go a little bit behind the scenes, ask you some questions about, you know, how'd you get the book? What's going on? How do you have this really cool opportunity? Where did it all come from?
Came from
New
Jersey.
Were they really lost to the world?
Where everything comes from.
You know, where's this, what's this
okay,
all
so
about?
We got Motivational Monday. Let's call this Wowtivational Wednesday.
All right, so that's tomorrow is Wednesday.
Cool. Wonderful Wednesday is coming up with you guys.
That's
and
right.
And we will be there. And then Thursday is the great Brandon Steiner.
That's right.
Who you will totally love. And then we have Friday's recap.
The best of. The best of.
I love the best of.
All right, guys. Thanks for being a diehard. Please remember to share this with both your friends.
And get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer.
And I'm Jen Gluckow.
Saying bye-bye until Wowful Wednesday.
Au revoir. Sell or Die Hard. If you love the show, make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true sell or diehard, and we thank you.